Hey guys, it's Matt Pelishek.
And it's Aaron Perlman.
And we are your hosts of Considerate Joy and the afternoon
Joyride.
And I'm really excited for today's episode because in our line of work especially, we come back a lot to this idea of Christian music versus secular music. And that is defining what is what. Do they cross over? And can we be so black and white with those terms?
So, I mean, we play Christian music all the time, but let's talk to a Christian artist, Chris Cleveland of the band Stars Go Dim. He's actually played in mainstream secular music and now does Christian.
Join us as we walk through, should we label music Christian and secular? It's Considerate Joy.
Considerate pure joy.
See if it sparks joy in you.
Because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
Welcome back to Considerate Joy, the official podcast of 88.3 Life FM. Today we're talking about the thing that we do for a living on and off day after day, which is music. And it's kind of funny because I feel like around the church, especially when it comes to music, we tend to hear about it or talk about it in two categories. There's Christian, and then there's everything else. There's Christian, and there's secular. You know, and I think if you were asked to define that, most people would say something like, well, you know, one is about Jesus or faith and everything else isn't. But it's interesting, I feel like, when you start digging into that, you start digging a little deeper, you realize that some of those lines are not quite as clear if you're going to follow that path on where they lead.
So we thought we could talk about it all day, or we could just bring in an artist and share his thoughts and from the band Stars Go Dim. Mr. Chris Cleveland joining us.
What's up, boys?
Welcome, Chris.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming all the way out just to talk about this on our podcast and no other reasons or shows or anything.
Well, it's beautiful here this time of year and the scenery's really nice.
Right?
It's cool outside. I thought I'd go for a walk later and just enjoy what Bakersfield has to offer.
Brown land in 109.
Yeah, and oil deckers just off to the side.
Yeah, like when the sun goes down, you just see the blinking lights from the refineries.
It's fantastic.
Beautiful.
It's fantastic.
Oh, it's great.
You know, actually, Nashville reached out and said, hey, if there's anybody who's good on this topic, it's you. So
let's go.
That's why we thought we'd talk to you about it.
Well, I've lived in both of these worlds. So Stars Go Dim started in 2007 as a mainstream pop band. Hmm. And so for the first 5-6 years of the band, we were kind of in that world. And then in 2012, I think I signed my Christian deal. And then kind of put out song You Are Loved, which is first single in Christian music. And so I've been firmly in that since then and worked in and out of the church. So yeah, I might have a unique perspective of both of those.
Well, I think one of the most important things to do up front is, like, if you take a philosophy 101, it's define your terms, right?
Okay.
So let's talk about that. Let's say you're getting on an airplane again for another show somewhere, and you have that familiar situation. Someone sits down. It's the chatty person. What do you do? I do music. Oh, you do music? Are you in a band? Yeah. What band? So, and then it leaves this point, like, what kind of music do you do? Do you feel in that moment you have to say Christian music, or what is your response?
Probably different depending on the scenario. We had, as we were driving up here, we had a similar conversation. And I said, usually I don't tell people exactly what I do until they already like me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them to have a preconceived notion, right?
That's true.
And so what I'd really love for them to be able to do is us connect on something and like go deep. And then be able to share that and then maybe not have the same idea about who I am because of what I do and then actually like get to know me as a human being. Right?
Labels have baggage regardless.
On either side.
Yeah, on either side.
On either side. So so I think it's really interesting. So a lot of times what I say is I'm a musician. I write all kinds of songs, which I do. And so I'll say something like I'll write songs for the church. I write pop songs, I write country songs, I do all this stuff. So I kind of do a general kind of breadth of it. And it's just weird to say, yeah, I'm in a band and here's my like social media, whatever.
Yeah. Like, you want to give me a follow?
Yeah.
I'm curious, what is it like then to be Because there's artists out there. I'm a Christian in a band.
Yep.
Or I'm in a Christian band.
Yeah, I think that was like the huge thing, like when Switchfoot crossed over, and they were like, and they probably weren't the first one, because wasn't Michael W. Smith like named the sexiest man ever or something on People magazine back in the day? So obviously it wasn't the first time there was like this cultural thing that happened. But like in my lifetime, I remember when Switchfoot did the thing, and now like so many people Need to Breathe and Lauren Daigle is a thing, and even like Mav City has done it in a way, like, and it's just really interesting how culture's changed. But I think that was the question. It was like, is Switchfoot a Christian band, or are they just Christian guys in a band? And you would talk to band guys who were like really cared about it. It's like, no, we're not Christian band, but you know, I believe in Jesus, whatever. I was like, what? Who cares? You know, for me, I've always kind of approached it maybe in my own lane to think like, I just want to be real, right? So, and even you'll hear this in Stars Go Dim records. There's songs in there that are for my wife and for my kids. And there's songs in there that are about Jesus. And there are songs about life and in all of its ways. So am I bringing music to the table that it's like being truthful about the wholeness and like the breadth of the human experience? Mine just so happens to have Jesus involved in it. And so that's kind of how I've always approached it. So because I'm a follower of Jesus, the way of Jesus works for me. That's obviously going to come out in the songs. But I don't think I've ever gotten caught up in saying, oh, I'm in a Christian band or I'm not.
I feel like something that we've always talked about in the Joyride is that there used to be albums in the 90s, even in the 80s, to a point where Christian artists would write songs about their wives or their relationships with other people that didn't necessarily talk about Christ but had principles of Christianity, where today you get more. I think today you're starting to see more of that, which is good. But of recent past, it's been nothing but hammered of, here's the next church song.
Yeah.
Here's the next worship song. This is the next friendly Jesus song.
Yeah.
How is that? I mean, because obviously your music is on the lines of less of the, I guess, the worship song.
I think there's so many things like that Bebo Norman song or record, Myself When I'm Real.
Oh, yeah.
Such a great record. Like, I listened to when I was a kid, and I think maybe he was going through a divorce or something. I might be real wrong there, so fact check me. But something was going on with his life. You could tell in the music, and I was like, oh, this is like honest material, right? I think what's happened in the last 15 years is we went through a phase where Christians were trying to like make our songs cool, right? So we're going to say you instead of Jesus, or we're going to make it real generic because we don't want to sound, you know, hokey or whatever. And I don't know. I have songs like that. I don't think I did them because I wanted to sound cool. I think it's just like the nature of a song. But
yeah, You Are Loved. I mean, it's picked up. It's used in like commercials.
Yeah. And obviously we didn't go out there and think this isn't about Jesus, but it was written in a way where it's like, well, ADT could play it for their, you know, people. Yeah. And I think that's really beautiful, honestly. I think one of the things that I see right now, aside from the worship thing, which we can talk about in a second, but I like this because I write for a lot of new artists and things. I think culture has shifted in a way where when I grew up, there were kind of these culture wars. And I remember growing up in church and people saying, oh, the world is going to hate you for this, or the world is this and that. And my experience in my almost 40 years is I have never, ever been looked down on, treated poorly, like hated. No one has ever been aggressive towards me because of my beliefs or my songs. And that's my experience, and maybe someone else's is different. And so when a new artist comes in and they're telling me about what they want to sing and what they want to do, I'm like, hey, do you want to sing songs about Jesus? Then let's write songs about Jesus. And I actually think our culture at this point has more respect for people who come out and say, this is who I am, this is what I believe, and my life backs it up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So
authenticity becomes
authenticity
what people recognize.
Is the thing.
Yeah.
But if you sing that song that's kind of about Jesus and you're a jerk,
right?
Nobody wants to listen to that or mm-hmm. be your friend. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that's something that's kind of changed, where I actually think in general culture will say, no, like, you're a Christian, awesome, be that.
Yeah.
And write your songs and sing them, and that's great. Then I think we've also had a change where obviously worship music has become much bigger than it's ever been, right?
Yeah.
And so I've been a part of, like, writing songs for Maverick City and that kind of stuff. So they've cut a couple of songs that I've written. Bethel's cut some songs that I've written. And so being in those rooms, writing those songs is a whole different experience. And I remember in 2017 when Mav was just getting, it didn't have a name. There were just a bunch of us getting together in, like, Airbnbs writing songs. And before we would go write the songs, we would just sing. Just somebody on a guitar, and people started praying and do it. Like, I mean, it was one of the most powerful moments. And this would happen every time. And I remember always going back and saying, oh my gosh, if we can capture the authenticity of this room and get it out of this Airbnb to the church, this is going to be crazy. And that's what's happened with Mav.
Maverick City has done that exactly.
And I think they've done that really well. They've shown up exactly as who they are. They've got great songs because there's 200 of us that have written them all for them. and they sing the crap out of them, and they're so good and kind and all of that. And so to me, I'm like, more power to you. That's awesome. And I don't think that takes away from secular songs. I think actually some of the largest, biggest artists in the world are believers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At this point, you've got people from Snoop Dogg to Justin Bieber, you know, releasing Christian records, Kanye
right.
West. Like, no matter how you feel about those guys, like, there's some faith there. Even on the songwriting side, because I geek out on that too, a lot of the biggest songwriters in the world learn how to do it in church.
Yeah.
Huh.
You know, you talk about, like, Ryan Tedder, the singer for One Republic. He's one of the biggest songwriters yeah. in the world. And he talks about a lot of his songs, like, have clap production in them. And somebody asked him about this.
To know that works.
Somebody asked him about this once. He said, why do you have claps in your song? And he said, church. Because everybody goes to church and they clap in their songs. So I think there's always been this thing where there's been an overlap in all of it. I think we've created silos in our heads
right.
that don't necessarily exist
as
in the real
as
world.
A Christian artist, is there a secular artist that you always want to listen to or you align with? You're like, man, I really like their sound. Just, I wish they were a believer.
No.
No.
Because I think if they're bringing 100% of themselves, I believe God's in them anyways.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I can, I feel like where my theology is like, I think God can use anything and anyone.
Yeah.
And,
love that.
And so, there are plenty of people that I listen to and love, I think, but wish that they're a believer for what end, like, so their music would be about Jesus. And then maybe it wouldn't be as good. Now, do I hope, like, the best for them and their soul and all of those things? Yes. But I don't think I've ever heard a song and been like, well, I'd like this a lot better if that guy was a Christian.
It's you know? Funny how standards shift because, like, if we really back up and stop overcomplicating it sometimes and look at the same things that churches talk about all the time was look at who God used.
Yep.
And for some reason, when we have, you know, that sermon and it talks about the liars and adulterers and doubters and stuff that God used and wrote books with, as opposed to somebody that is in the music recording industry and has some sort of whatever issue, whatever falling out or perceived problem or like divorce used to be one back in the day, you'd uh-huh. hear just people. All of a sudden, there's this like, well, God could use all these people who he used to write the Bible. But now, no, you don't do that. And I think what the problem becomes is not with the person, it's with the pedestals that we're putting people sure. on, and an expectation that for some reason, you know, your character needs to be better than my character uh-huh. in order for you to really minister. It, like, it's an odd place, I think, to fall. You kind of touched on this. Do you think the character of an artist should reflect at all the values of the music? Does that make sense?
Maybe.
Because sometimes you look at that and be like, oh, well, yeah, that song's good, but did you see what they did?
I think it's what they claim to be.
Yeah.
Okay, here's like a really great example. Alice Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Okay, right? This is obviously a little before me, but he's a devout Christian at mm-hmm. this point. And I've seen interviews where he thought when he became a Christian, he needed to give that up. And then he had a pastor come to him and say, no, this is where you need to minister at. Like, you can be this and still be Alice Cooper. But even Alice Cooper was a persona.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not who he really
is.
Like,
it wasn't who he was before he became a Christian. And I think people knew that. Kiss is a thing, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's some of that in music. Like, Lady Gaga was a thing. And I think as you get to see artists grow and you see the person eventually. And so when I think of Alice Cooper, I'm like, no, Alice Cooper, the musician and the artist was different than Alice Cooper before he was a Christian. And after he was a Christian, he just uses it in a different way. When I think about Christian artists who are claiming to write songs for the edification of the church or the believer or all those things, they better be yeah. the person that they say they are. And man, it makes me so happy when they are. When I see people like Phil Wickham and Brandon Lake, who are like literally the most legit human beings you've ever met, and are exactly who they say they are, I'm like, thank God yeah. that they're yeah. having the success that they're having.
Yeah.
And you know, a few of those people slip through the cracks, but That's kind of anything, and Jesus has yeah. grace.
Well, Stars Go. Let me bring this up for you. Stars Go Dim was a mainstream band.
Yeah.
And what brings you to Christian music? What was that change?
I grew up in church. I had always been around it. Always led worship and that kind of thing. So, the start of Stars was actually this side project from an old Christian rock band, and so we had like kind of a foot in the door of Christian music, but then had all this success in mainstream. So all of a sudden we're touring with like John Mayer or, you know, the Goo Goo Dolls or whatever, you know. And we play with everybody, you know, in the mid-2000s. And so what I found in that space was a culture, and this is my experience again, and it's not everybody's. What I felt like when I'm playing with John Mayer and he comes to the green room and like invites us and like he literally says, hey, steal all my fans tonight, and so generous and so kind and welcomes us in. When I came into Christian music, I didn't get that experience.
Wow.
Sometimes the Christian angle and like putting God on the business of it can feel real weird.
Huh.
And where it actually feels a little bit better in the secular place. And that's different for everybody in every situation. But my situation was I actually had a little bit of struggle coming into the Christian place because people like to let you know that you're at the bottom of the totem pole.
Wow.
You know, and this is not everybody. This is a specific instance. But and I actually think it's gotten much better in the last like 7-8 years, especially post-pandemic.
Yeah.
I feel like if you made it past the pandemic and like are still doing this and like you're pretty kind and great person, you know. Yeah.
I think we need to, you know, maybe a part of it is recognizing, I don't know if it's a Western culture thing or what, but we love to label, you know.
Yeah, we do. Mm.
And on one hand, I get it. Like I can hand it a little bit to like, what is that, Christian music or secular music? It's kind of easy to do that for simplicity of what you're communicating.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get that. However, then there's this other layer where I feel like, okay, but I see people will apply that label to music and they'll apply it to movies,
mm-hmm.
but not painters, mm-hmm. not sculptors. So why have we chosen, like, Thomas Kincaid is always a famous example, right? this like mega Christian guy. Yep. He didn't paint Jesus. He painted landscapes. So that idea of, I can understand.
I must get a Thomas Kincaid because that's a Christian artist.
Yeah, nobody, you know, because we've heard it, you know, on our side, somebody like, oh, I don't really like that song. You know, they're not even talking about Jesus at all.
Yeah,
I've never heard somebody reference a painting
also,
by a.
I'm gonna have a Christian attorney.
Exactly.
Or I need my accountant to be a Christian.
Yeah. Going to the bakery. There's a Christian baker with Christian cupcakes.
There is a weird way that we label some of that stuff. I think on the flip side too, like the church commissioned some of the greatest works of art ever.
Right.
Right, you think about some of the most famous artists, painters, musicians. They were all commissioned by the church to do some of the greatest works that we've ever seen and heard. And that's kind of changed, of course, over time. And then it also makes me think, too, some of the best songs I've ever heard that felt like I felt Jesus in them were songs from secular artists. Because they can write them in such a profound way. Like, The Fray back in the day. I found God on the corner of First and Amistad. Like, you
such
know
a great
mean?
Song.
Like,
Coldplay.
Like, what is that song? Missionaries in a foreign field. There's like, talks about like John at the gates of heaven and stuff. There's all this stuff.
U2 is very similar in that sense.
U2, I mean, U2, Bono will be the worship leader in heaven. Yeah. Get over it if you have a problem with it. You know,
I was
like,
putting Martin Smith in there for dinner.
Yeah,
years.
I mean, Martin will definitely, he might have a guitar and be like BGV and lead every once in a while. Yeah, you know what I mean? But some of the best songs, the best Christian songs, I think, have come from secular people and artists, whether we knew it or not, because they're being so honest about it.
Yeah.
And for some reason, especially in CCM, which is different than worship and different than some of these other things, we're trying to write a specific song to a specific person. And there's a need for it, and it's great, and all of the things. But what happens is sometimes it feels inauthentic.
Yeah.
Because life isn't always positive and encouraging. Now, you've got to get to the deep cuts of our records to hear those songs, because the ones you guys are getting are pretty peppy most of the time.
Yeah.
And everybody has those songs. I'm not saying every artist is that, but the average Christian radio listener doesn't always get that.
In fact, right. I think it's a song that you've written. That it's your latest single
about not another sad song.
Not another sad song. You didn't even write that.
Yeah, but that song is still pretty poppy and pretty peppy. Right. You know, it's pretty hard.
But it refers to the fact that your station is playing not another sad song.
Yeah, which
I think is important to hear that it's okay to have sad and peppy songs.
I think it's important to express the breadth of the human experience. Yeah. And I say this in my shows a lot. As Christians, we're not always great at saying God is good and life is hard.
Right.
Like, we're like, everything is awesome and God is good, or we fake it, right?
Yeah.
When the reality is that, like, life is a pendulum. It is a balance, and we are constantly balancing our difficulties and our struggles and the faithfulness of God. Like, those things are both true at the same time. And we don't always do that well in song. There's a great new song right now out. One of my friends, Michael Farron, wrote for Corey Asbury called Kind. And my gosh, it's like finally these guys being on it. And Michael Farron, if you know him at all, he's written a bunch of songs that you guys would know. And if you don't, just Google him as you're listening to this, and you'll see Let It Rain, Michael W. Smith, some big Lauren Daigle songs, like, and a ton of stuff in between. He's always been a very honest writer. And you sit down in a room with him, you're like, oh my gosh.
I know the song you're talking about. It, right away out the gate, it talks about like maybe losing a baby.
Yes, like, I don't know why marriages fall apart and babies die and all of these things. And I've cursed your name and I've run away and I've done all these things, and all you've ever done is be kind to me, basically.
And I think a part of that is like So from our side, on the radio side of music, because we can also take heat, just like the, you know, we've seen all the memes, and some of them are fantastic, yeah, about the same 10 songs and all of those things, right? But I think there's this other aspect of it when you're talking about, you know, some of the CCM music, yeah, and thematically, there's what people are consuming a certain media for. And for our purposes and the audience we reach, typically, it's what they're looking for. Yep. It's, they're not necessarily looking in that moment and that audience for really diving into theology, mm-hmm, or really diving into a song like that necessarily, where it's the reminders of realities, mm-hmm, cancers and children who die and stuff like that. And so sometimes that it'll get noticed by somebody who's really like just a huge consumer of music. Yep. So when you're looking at overall consumer of music, and then you listen to just Christian radio, you'll find that that's missing oftentimes a certain depth.
Yeah, but our listeners are bringing that.
Yeah.
If you're tuning into your local Christian station, you're either sold out Christian or you're really hurting and you need, yeah, something right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And so you don't need somebody sharing their hurt with you too. And, you know, it's a balance. I understand all of that. And so you've really got to be able to step back and say, okay, there's a need in different places for different music.
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to come back to something just real quick. I'm going to cut you off, Aaron, but you were talking about, you know, who's to say that God can't use a song, quote unquote, secular, uh-huh, or artist. Mike Donahue, I heard him in a podcast talk about, he said, everyone has the spark of the divine was the phrase that he used. Or I think
I'm so jealous of Mike.
He's so smart.
He, for all the people that I can't remember their quotes, he like gives you the page number, yeah, of the book. Gosh.
Yeah. But every person, whether or not they are following Jesus, whether or not they're living that life, they are an image bearer of God.
Yep.
And so you kind of referenced that before. Who are we to say God can't use them to connect with somebody through a song, through a... Now, obviously, anybody can point, because that's how my brain operates. I always want to go devil's advocate.
Like, sure.
There's,
yeah,
nothing
no
redeeming
what
in this song over here. Well, you're probably right. Maybe there's not.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
We're talking about the labels. We're talking about, okay, well, this artist, that Coldplay song, that whatever, you know, in that moment, God used that song in my life. And I think for us, it's almost like we are putting what we think our limit should be on God, mm-hmm, when we start doing that.
Yeah, we're really good at boxing God in.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, gosh. Mike Donahue and I wrote a song for his last record called Glory That I Couldn't See. It's one of my favorite songs that I've ever written. And really, I just sat in the room and watched him do it. But it's a great example of that. It's like, I wanna hear heaven when my daughter laughs and feel the spirit every time we dance. She always loves to dance. And I'm like, for me, I'm in it. I'm in that season. That song, every time I played it, I cried.
Yeah.
Every time.
All right, I've got to be honest. I just got to tell you, that's the one song, like, my favorite song in the whole album. We played that here in Life of
Fame. You did?
Yeah. That's the song, so good.
Oh,
how much of that did you write?
Gosh, I don't even know. I remember going out and saying, Mike, I think I was your filter today. And it was like flowing out of him so much. And we wrote with another one of our friends, Andrew Berchtold, who's in We the Kingdom. And it was just, I just remember sitting there thinking, man, this is really special and honest. And I'm so glad I'm sitting here, yeah, as a part of it.
Is there something that you wrote that was, you felt was inauthentic and that you kept to where... And then I have a second question to follow up,
okay,
on that.
There have been plenty of songs I've written probably that I felt like that I've released. I don't know. I think there's a reality that might change in my life that makes a song less true in that moment.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
But I think all the songs I've released, I've believed. I think there's also songs that that do different things. Right, so I've got songs on this last record that are very CCM Christian, right down the middle, and then I've got some songs that aren't, and I think that's okay. I think both can be true, and are true. So what I try to do is just say, are these truthful for me now? And yeah, then I look back at songs and like photo albums. say, oh, I remember that and who I was then.
Do you wish CCM would be able to be played in a more mainstream capacity? Like, we get that for King and Country. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, I remember when Sixpence and the Richer came out with Kiss Me, and Christian radio didn't play it.
Uh-huh.
And then it went to mainstream, and then it's in the biggest song in the world.
Oh, we're claiming them. They're our people. Yeah, let's go. Yep.
Bob Carlyle does the same thing.
Butterfly kisses.
Yeah, everyone hated it. No, mainstream's going to play it. So how do you feel? Do you wish that would be the case, that there would be more songs, more stars would go dim, obviously, go out to mainstream, but it's for AC, Christian.
I'm actually okay with how we are, because I think Christian radio fills a need where it's at. I also think with social media, streaming, all these other people, that we have the ability to connect our songs to anyone and everyone. So like my last single that went to radio did fine at radio, not great, not horrible. It was out there. It's my biggest consumed song ever. So I saw for the first time a different audience than Christian radio listeners consume my song. And so I don't know that all those people are Christians, probably because it's such a Christian message, but I've seen other songs. I had a song called You Know Me Better a few years ago that we saw this huge YouTube group, like, just listen to the song, and it just went huge on YouTube, and then didn't translate at radio. And so I think there's a reality where there's a place for your songs. And I think we can find those with a little effort. We can find the place. Like, Christian radio is not the place for every song. Maybe it's not the place for Kind. Maybe it is. But I think there's always going to be a lane where we can find those listeners and they can find us. How we've got to figure it out is how to make it where we can do that and all still survive and feed our families. we're still figuring that out. But I think there's lanes in all of it where everything can do what they need to do.
So, because the navigation process, we're kind of, all over. Well, there's this, but God can use this. And I think this, in part, it's just part of the picture that things are messy and not everything is so cleanly labeled and God can move how he wants. But let's see if we can put a little bit of navigation on it. Because, like, when I grew up very entrenched in church culture.
Me too.
And so it was all Christian music and secular music.
Get your radio
was
saved.
R-rated movie versus G-rated movie. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's if they're labeled this way, you don't participate.
Yep.
And so do you have kids? You have kids, right?
I do, yeah.
How old are they right now?
10, 9, and about to turn 7.
Okay. So mine are just a little older, but 18, 14, and 11.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, in part, just like any, parent, like, they've been around Christian music their whole life, so they just don't care because that's dad's thing, right? Yeah. But so knowing the way that I came up in this very black and white, like, we burn those CDs and we play these ones on repeat.
Yep.
I was at a couple of those burnings. How do you navigate that? Like, for me and with my daughters, we've started just being like, I want them to know if there's something they really like or sparks whatever in them, they can listen to it with me. And then we're going to talk about why do you like it. And there's been times where, and we're talking fully not Christian music, where I'm like, ooh, yeah, but do you hear what they're saying? Like, it's basically a very empty, very depressing song, as opposed to something else. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I see why you like that. Have you developed any kind of standard or process for that?
Oh, gosh, we're trying. We're trying to raise decent people and decent human beings in our house. And we're probably screwing them up in some ways. And I grew up really similar to you. I've maybe overcorrected a little too hard, but we'll see.
Yeah, me too.
But we were at my parents' last week, and my youngest son loves singing. And he started singing. He was singing some Jesus songs. And I was like, thank God. My mom, she's going to be so happy that Chase is singing some songs about Jesus. Like, we're winning right now. And, of course, his older brother and sister over there laughing at him and making fun of him and all that. So that's definitely where we are. But, like, I took my oldest son's favorite band is One Republic. So I took him to that show. And I'm like, man, there's so much good that he can find in these songs. A week later, my wife took my daughter to Lizzo, and
wow.
Yeah, I know. But I think about it like a lyric to her song, Special.
Yeah.
You special. I'm like, who doesn't want to like have that message burned into them?
Yeah.
You know, I've actually thought like, can I redo this for Christian radio and take a couple words out? Because like, that's a hit on Christian radio, yeah. You know? And so we're trying to balance that, I think, in some ways. And of course they hear my music and make fun of me for it. And I was producing a song for a friend of mine the other day. It was a rock song, like guitars and stuff. And Chase came in and he said, "Dad, I didn't know Christian music could be rock and roll." And I was like, "Yeah, buddy, it can, you know, it can be." And so I think we're trying to navigate that and find the right messages.
Yeah.
But not every song my kids listen to have to be like Jesus died for you and his blood covers your sin. And like, you know, it's like, I don't need my 9-year-old thinking about death and blood, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that. And so we're probably going to screw up in some way.
But it's better that you're the one showing them these songs rather than their friends, because you can, then it can go in a different direction.
Yeah, and I, you know, and when I, right now they're obsessed with dumb stuff like the water or the Burger King Whopper song or something. Oh, yeah, yeah, which yeah, is yeah, like, yeah,
oh my God, what do the Fox say kind of stuff? Yeah,
yeah. My guys, give me a break. So I know we're about to step into another season of that once we kind of get into the teen years and stuff, and I'll be the old man and hate everything.
But it's that navigation process, even, I think, because I do the same thing where I'm questioning, have I overcorrected? Or I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have shown them that or let them listen to that or whatever. But there's also a part of me that's like, they're witnessing the navigation process.
Yep.
I recognize that a little bit looking back, because while I did grow up in that very by-the-book cult Christian culture, I do remember seeing my parents kind of shifting from that. Mm-hmm. And we forget, as kids, our parents are doing what we're trying to do now. Yep. They were navigating. When you're little, you just, they've got it figured out. They know what they're doing.
Yep.
And so I think even some of recognizing that there's an intentional process to build yourself up, like to do things in a positive way.
Yeah.
And that you see that, and whether or not it always lands right, I think knowing that that is the effort in play is a powerful tool for them.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think what we've done essentially is taking the labels off. And my wife and I have done this in a lot of things.
Hmm.
And so they may not see like, oh, listen to Christian songs, don't listen to secular songs. But they may feel, oh, these songs that I'm listening to like build me up. And there's something there. But I haven't put a label on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. We'll see how that experiment.
That's interesting. I think that's important. I think having not defining that label on it. There's a difference that you can tell. For me, like, Christian music changed my life. I was lost. I was in the car listening to, I end up listening to Christian radio because that's what was drilled in my head.
Yeah.
But I was at a place in my life where I hated Christ, like, to the T.
Yeah.
But I was drawn to it because I was trying to find, not the label that I know that's Christian music, but I knew there was something that I was going to find encouraging in it.
Yeah.
And it was that song, the short end of it, it Audio Adrenaline, Get Down. It played 3 times in the car after I challenged God over and in. Yes, you can sing it all you want.
Yeah.
It changed, because the radio station played it 3 times in a row, I gave my life over to Christ. I don't even remember getting out of the car. I just remember going back home, and my life was changed from that moment. But it was because I was looking for that type of message. And that's something that you hope that other kids or anybody listening trying to find Christian music, that's the difference.
And I think that's the important part of like not staying in our lanes, but like everybody having like there's a need for Christian radio. There's a need for the playlists. There's a need for the social things. There's a need for all these things, because we need to honestly have as many avenues as we can. And for me, you know, I'm spreading this message really in my music about like identity, value, worth, love. All of these things are things that I'm like drilling in, because in my biggest songs, those were the messages I got from people that were like literally at their life's end and needed somebody to tell them they were loved. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll do that forever.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm good with this. And And so that's the calling on my life. So I'm like, well, let me do this on TikTok. I call it TikTok because I'm old. Let me do it on Instagram and at the radio and, you know, on Spotify, all those places. I will go all those places. And I think that's necessary. And some of those places have taken me into secular spaces. Awesome. Some of them have taken me into really conservative spaces. Awesome. Because all of those people, no matter where they land on the political or the geographical or the racial or wherever they are in life, they need to know that same message. And so,
Jesus
pretty,
saves.
Pretty universal there. So, I don't know.
Well, I think there's really only one other thing I wanted to talk with you about. And I have a feeling if anybody is listening and still listening this far into the podcast, you're probably not one of these people. But you know how every group, especially when we're talking about things like this, has the loud ones, right? Especially politics. We see that all the time.
Yeah, it's a loud
Christian music,
minority.
Same thing. I've seen it happen even not too long ago where there are still those who will be out at a Casting Crown show
protesting Mark.
Protesting Mark Hall. And, you know, and you get into this.
If they knew Mark, they'd know how ridiculous that is.
Yeah. And you get into this space or... there are like rock bands, I think a Skillet in particular, I've talked to them about this, where it'll be something like somebody has cut off their music because at some point they saw a photo of one of the band members wearing a t-shirt of a band from the 80s.
They've got like, a Metallica shirt on or something. Yeah.
But it's for real. And, and people will be like, you know what that band has a song about?
Yeah.
And
I get it.
And yeah, and you know, you've seen it and heard it. And I feel like this is where we get to a place where we are operating completely outside of grace, you know? And I feel like, again, most of us listening at this point, probably not quite that far off the trail, but I want to be that person where that's not my first reaction. If I hear, if somebody says my favorite artist is Eminem, okay, well, why?
Yeah.
What about Eminem or music or something, and not like, oh, that stuff is so foul.
Yeah.
Well, that may be true. To extend grace, to extend how God may be moving in a moment, and to not, as you said, Chris, you know, have everything so labeled. But like a lot of other things, we see that sometimes where we have ideas or maybe even sometimes intentions that.
Yep.
Began at a good place and they come out in this kind of weird spot that is very standoffish and ultimately not very biblical and not very Jesus-like.
I think we've got to extend grace everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? And I think, so we started this about defining things, right? There's 35,000 denominations of the Christian church in America.
Wow.
That means we disagree a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Right? And so, being a musician where I travel a lot, I'm in different churches every week who
you
believe different things.
Yeah.
I've seen the American church in all of its angles, right? And when people bring me in, they think I think the same things they think. And it's usually not true, you know?
Yeah.
And so, for that person who sees me in a Metallica shirt or whatever, which maybe I have one that I stole from my wife that
cannot
I might wear
or
once
deny.
In a while.
Yeah.
Or, you know, has the... I talked to somebody this past weekend that said, literally said, secular music was from the devil. And I just said, well, I don't agree with you. I don't think that's true. I think people are just trying to write songs that are real and and express their life. And so, but I'm going to have the same grace to that person as I am on the other side of it, because we're all wrong about something.
Yeah.
So the world would be a much beautiful place if we much more beautiful place if we all just kind of came open-handed and okay with not having to be right and convince everybody of everything. So I'm totally fine with you living your life how you're living it, whether that's so conservatively that you know, you can't even listen to the radio, or whether that's on the totally other opposite side. I'm going to have the same grace for you no matter what, because I know there's something in my life that I'm probably got way wrong too.
So the real challenge would be your next album is you have to have the cover of you in a Metallica shirt and you tour with it.
Yeah, there we go.
How the audience treats you after that.
The title could just be like Grace with a question mark and just see what people do.
Well, I've seen, have you guys seen the videos of Crowder going out and hanging out with the protesters and
stuff? Oh, yeah.
I was at that, which is pretty funny to watch. So.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for spending all this time. I love talking about this stuff, and you know, just this is kind of our day in, day out thing, and I just love getting into it because grace, I think, kind of is the bottom factor of it, like grace and loving people, and how do we do it best through the art itself? Mm-hmm. How do we do that best, you know, with the art that they're creating or sharing? And I think that's, if we can make that our baseline, I think we're in a real good place to pursue relationship with them and pursue faith from there.
Sure. I don't think the gospel works without community.
Yeah.
And so one of my buddies, Carlos Whitaker, said, we're talking about enemies on our podcast that we do, my friend Tim Timmons and I, and he said, I've never met someone, looked them in the eye, and then be able to hate me afterwards.
Mm, yeah.
And so I think there's something about building tables and sending out invitations rather than building up walls. And so if we can do this in all of our lives, not just music, I think faith then comes naturally from that community that we can build.
Hmm.
So there will be opportunity for people to see Jesus through us by our natural interactions rather than us trying to convince people all the time and be so aggressive about it. And that's just my take, but I think tables are much
It's a great take. Eloquent words is why you're a writer.
Come on, man.
Come on.
Well, as soon as everybody is done with this podcast, go listen to the entire library. Stars Go Dim. And the podcast. What's the podcast?
Podcast, 10,000 Minute Podcast. It's a friend of mine, Tim Timmons, who's another artist.
He's incredible. Fan of ours.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yep.
Another beautifully bald man.
Yep.
That's right.
And he's the kind of guy that makes you a better person by just hanging out with him. We talk stuff like this and even crazier stuff all the time. But it's a safe place to question and be curious and we're just kind of idiots on it too. We laugh a lot, so it's really fun.
Well, everybody go check it out. Check out Stars Go Dim. Chris, thank you so much, man. I appreciate your time. Consider It Joy is a production of 88.3 Life FM. We're in Bakersfield, California. You can listen to us all week, every day on the 88.3 Life FM app. You can also find all the ways to listen or connect at consideritjoypodcast.com.